This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
The city and the province and the federal government have clearly done a really good job at pivoting immediately to adapt to COVID in many, many other ways. They are able to have these cafe to patios. The government is able to bail out all sorts of industries like the airline industry. But when it comes to homelessness, we're not really seeing the same response.
That's Mariana Hayes, a member of the Encampment Support Network, ESN. ESN is an ad hoc, volunteer-run network of neighbors building community and supporting people living in encampments in six locations throughout Toronto. They advocate for better conditions in encampments while also demanding long-term housing in the city. ESN volunteers visit encampments daily, delivering water, tents, hot meals, harm reduction kits, and much more. They've been doing this work through donations for 14 weeks now. On Wednesday, September 23rd, they're organizing the Meal and March for Housing, happening 5 p.m. at Moss Park. Mariana tells me about her involvement with two encampments in Parkdale, what to expect at Wednesday's march, and the lack of government action that led to the formation of ESN.
Something else that people forget is that, especially city councillors, the people that live in encampments are their constituents. Their constituents are not just people that own private property.
ESN was born out of necessity because politicians weren't providing things like water and sanitation to residents in encampments. So I asked Mariana what their relationship with the city is like these days.
We've invited a few city councillors to come visit the encampments. They have politely declined. I know that in Parkdale, for example, we invited Gord Perks to visit the encampment. That did not happen. We did have a visit from Adam Vaughn recently, who came and spoke to some of the encampment residents, did sort of an outreach shift with us. But in general, I would say that there's a major reluctance among city councillors and city officials to come visit the encampments.
Mariana notes that there is common misconceptions on the root cause of encampments, and she hopes that the upcoming march will urge city councillors and others in the community to pay closer attention to what's really going on.
I know one of the reasons that people like Gord Perks do not want to provide aid, and I think in relation to that don't want to come visit to actually see what's going on, is because they think that providing basic aid entrenches the encampments. What actually entrenches the encampments is the housing crisis and the lack of affordable housing in the city. And in terms of city agencies, even though the city sort of wants to pretend like the work that we're doing is something that shouldn't be their responsibility, we also regularly are contacted by various city agencies that want to work with us. But what we find is that that sort of relationship that they're proposing tends to be they want us to be sort of the mediator between them and the residents. And for us, I understand that some of these agencies might be understaffed. There's a pandemic. There's all these different things going on. There's many sites to serve. But there seems to almost be a reluctance to actually go and meet the encampment residents, ask them what their needs are, build relationships with them. And so they sometimes like to try to go through us. And so what we try to do is just also, when we can, try to facilitate that direct communication between city agencies and people in encampments, because we think that they're the experts on what their situation is. We prefer not to be asked about what people in the encampments need. People can go ask them themselves, especially city agencies.
When the need for social distancing in the shelter system arose, the city created temporary housing called shelter hotels. While sharing her definition of dignified housing, Mariana mentioned some concerns around this response to homelessness.
So, I think everybody deserves to live in a home where they feel comfortable, where they feel safe, and that they can actually afford to live in. So that, to me, is important in terms of dignified housing. And also, I think it's important for people to stay within their communities. One of the other things that we've seen that is really concerning is that when people are being moved into the temporary shelter hotels, they're being completely disconnected from their communities. In Parkdale, I talk to residents all the time who they grew up in the neighborhood or they've lived in the neighborhood for years, for decades even, and that's where all their social supports are. That's where their family is. That's where their doctor is. That's where their job is. That's where their ODSP office is, right? That's where their children live. So to be shipped off to 401 and Kennedy and be told to be grateful for it, I think is a pretty bitter pill to swallow. So when I think of dignified housing, I also think of housing where people really have like the agency to make, or to have a say in sort of what their housing can look like.
In their interim guidance on people experiencing unsheltered homelessness during the COVID-19 pandemic, the Center for Disease Control, CDC, recommends that if individual housing options are not available, government bodies should allow people who are living unsheltered or in encampments to remain where they are. This is for many of the reasons that Mariana has pointed out. Clearing encampments can cause people to disperse throughout the community and break connections with service providers. This increases the potential for infectious disease spread. Mariana also points out that the city shelter hotels are a reaction to the pandemic and not a permanent housing option.
And one of the problems with the shelter hotels, and that really distinguishes it from housing, because I think the city would like to call it a housing solution, is that it is a shelter. It operates like a shelter. The only difference is that you have a lock on your door.
In her neighborhood of Parkdale, Mariana and the ESN committee works with two encampments. One is smaller and more independent, so most of their efforts are with the one at Lamport Stadium. On top of their daily deliveries, the team also organizes things like acupuncture sessions for encampment residents.
I would say across the different neighborhood committees, we try to come up with different things that we can do to kind of provide different forms of care to people and to really build that kind of community. So whether it's, sometimes we'll get an ice cream truck or something or a food truck to come to an encampment. The acupuncture is really, really nice because of, the therapeutic aspects of it and sort of the radical history of acupuncture and its utility in terms of managing trauma and grief and pain, whether physical or emotional. People, I think they really enjoyed that. And actually the other day, one of the encampment residents was like, "Hey, are you guys going to be doing that again?" So it is something that we would like to do. I think it just depends on sort of like what our capacity is, but it's something that we've certainly been thinking about. But whenever we do something like that, it's always prioritizing, what do the residents want? We don't want to organize anything that they are not necessarily interested in.
With so much going on between deliveries and organizing supports for residents, I ask Mariana how she's feeling for Wednesday's march.
But this is going to be our first big march as ESN. So it's been coming together really, really quickly. It's been sort of intense, but very exciting. And it's really amazing what people can do when there's this real sense of urgency around organizing and acting.
She also reminds me that it's incredibly important for participants to bring a mask and keep their distance.
There's going to be food, there's going to be speeches, there's going to be sign making, there's going to be, all sorts of nice things. It's not going to be all doom and gloom. But, we take really seriously the fact that we need to put pressure on the city to act and we need to do something really loudly in order to get their attention.
Mariana points out that there are so many ways to show support for the residents of encampments and participate in the fight for dignified housing. At ESN, they're always finding new ways to leverage their skills for the cause. The group recently launched a podcast called We Are Not the Virus as a way for residents to share stories about life in the encampments. It's available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts with new episodes coming very soon.
It's really important that, we try to make those perspectives and that experience more widely available to people. And to really, help people think critically about what we're seeing right now. What we're seeing is not a matter of, and the city would like to frame it as an issue of, people's individual behaviors and problems, but the encampments are a direct result of the housing crisis and of the pandemic. Although encampments did predate the pandemic just really exacerbated it by shrinking the number of shelter beds that there are across Toronto for physical distancing. But I can't recommend the podcast enough. It is incredible. And it really, I think, does an excellent job of helping to sort of reframe a lot of the issues in ways that allow the residents to speak for themselves. And it's just like, it's an incredibly important piece. And obviously I'm biased, but yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Along with the podcast, Patreon is another new addition to ESN. If you're not familiar with the platform, Patreon is primarily used in the arts community. Fans pay a monthly subscription to view exclusive content from their favorite creatives, but ESN is using the platform to raise money for their supplies. Their Patreon account outlines the specific supplies that are bought with monthly donations of $10, $15, and $100.
You can sign up for monthly donations that way, which does help us, especially as we're gearing up and trying to anticipate winter, to also anticipate a steady budget. You know, we rely entirely on donations from friends, from concerned residents, from neighbors.
To make a one-time donation, email report.on.toronto@gmail.com with the subject line donation. ESN encourages anyone who donates or takes an interest in their work to also write to Mayor John Tory and every city councillor. Make them aware that you are providing for people who the city should be providing for.
You know, what we're doing is looking at practical solutions. So, you know, asking people what they need for winter and trying to see what is possible. A lot of people that live in encampments have spent winters outside before, so they know what they need. So we're sort of trying to see how we can facilitate that. I know some people are looking into getting like pallets so that they can keep their tents off the ground and put in insulation. But I think, yeah, I think there's like a real sense of urgency that we have to think about sort of the practical day-to-day. What can we provide? Do we need to provide hand warmers? Do we need to try to get jackets? Do we need to get more sleeping bags and blankets and tarps? But also really, really putting the pressure on the city to call out the fact that their plans thus far are just woefully inadequate and that they need to act. They need to act meaningfully, and they need to really take the feedback of residents into account to figure out what their plan is. Otherwise, people are going to die and it's going to be on the city.
Mariana and the rest of the Encampment Support Network will be at the Meal and March for Housing this Wednesday, September 23rd from 5 p.m. at Moss Park. Here are some final thoughts on what it means to be a good neighbor.
I think being a good neighbor means caring about everybody in the neighborhood and not just the people who own property or have the ability to live inside of a home. I think it means taking care of each other, especially in a moment like this where, you know, during the pandemic, where there's many people in our communities that are being completely left behind by our government, by the municipal government, provincial and federal. And so I think it's very important to just, you know, remember that we have the capacity as a community to provide care for each other. Although I wish in many cases that the city would step up to do that care work, but we have the capacity to do that. So I think as a neighbor, it's important just to look out for everybody.
This is Sam Darmasena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.